People are scheduled calls for a conference or meditation now. Taylor, was it 3:15? Was that what it was? And then a question period from 3:30 to 4:30. Is that right? Then closing with benediction. Is that right? At 4:30. Well, since we're a little late in starting, why don't we finish, say, at 20 after? Is it 22 now, by the way? 22. So, suppose we finish then at 20 after, have a 10-minute break, and by the way, the questions should be written out. Do we have? Now, it can be either one that we're covering during the Day of Recollection or any other questions having to do either with the faith or with home education. I'd rather not engage in conversation with the Blessed Sacrament. And what happened was that the luna, as they call it, for the large host is smaller the size of the big host. So the host would have had to have been trimmed beforehand. I don't want to use a pair of scissors on the consecrated host. So what I've done, I put three small hosts into the luna. It will have exposition then for the benediction, but not have the large host. And there will be at least 10 minutes break. I believe that this is our last formal, am I correct, meditation? Because we're having a question period and then 4:30 benediction. We saved the how of the faith is to be shared with others. The first and most fundamental principle on how to share the faith is by living it. And behind that is the most fundamental principle of what we call the apostolate. As we know, the apostolate means following Christ's injunction to the disciples, going therefore, proclaim the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, and this is crucial, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The apostolate externally is sharing Christ's teaching on faith and morals externally, but internally the apostolate is being a channel of grace to other people. My favorite definition of the apostolate: being a channel of grace to other people. So then when we ask, how do you communicate or share the faith with others? We answer was, it's not my answer, it's Christ's own answer, by living it. What are we saying? All the preaching, all the teaching, all the writing, all the external communication of the faith has only as much value as the one who communicates himself has the faith. And this is not merely, believe me, this is not merely giving others a good example. It is not merely that if we live the faith, people will be willing to listen and not say, if what you're telling us is true, why is it wasted on you? It's much deeper. And this, in one sentence, is what we mean by the apostolate. It is a channeling or communication of grace. Now, God uses others to communicate his grace to us. None of us would be here. This would be an empty chapel. And thanks a million for coming. You have no idea how much it strengthens my faith to see you men here. And none of us would be here unless someone preceding us had the faith in all the ways of communication, share the faith with us. But I know what I'm talking about. My first 11 years of teaching theology to my own Jesuit Scholastic priest, through my superior, who had in theology. It is not merely speaking, not merely lecturing in class. God uses other people as instruments or channels of his grace. But let's be clear on what we mean. We mean that one human being is a channel, or Mother Teresa's term, conduit, a conduit of grace to other people, not just in the measure that, but in the form that person himself possesses the grace. Only a person who has the grace of faith, hear it and don't forget. Only a person who has the grace of faith will be used by God to communicate the faith to others. Nobody else. Nobody else. Nobody else. No one else. And the same holds for all the other theological and moral virtues. We are here dealing with the mystery And what a mystery this is, of supernatural communication, which is rooted, by the way, in supernatural regeneration. I know I've used this example or explanation in class with some of you on a previous occasion. Suppose there was a child just born and therefore not baptized. Suppose someone did not have the faith. Use the formula of baptism perfectly. Pour water, even baptismal water. Would that child be baptized? No. Somebody must have the faith. Thank you. Someone must have the faith. And this applies to everything in the supernatural life. If there is only there be, as Jesuits are taught, in the first days of the novitiate, it is this principle of supernatural reproduction. All the learning of the world won't do it. All the teaching, all the preaching, all the book publishing won't do it. I hesitate. Well, identifying authors, you know enough of them by now. Heretics, writing books. Ostensibly Catholic books. Are they communicating the faith? No. This is the basic principle on how do you share the faith? By living it. But not what we're saying. We are saying that living of the faith includes everything which Christ, throughout the Gospels, and that the other writers, especially St. Paul, in his letters, tell us on how, for example, I'm to live my faith by living out my celibacy, my poverty, my obedience. I gave a lecture in Virginia yesterday afternoon. And after the lecture, I tried to visit a prisoner in federal prison, but they wouldn't let me in. That's a test of faith by itself. Then fortunately I got to the airport in time to make the flight back to Detroit. I write, the writers are paid. I get checks. As I've said so many times, I don't swim. I no more think of cashing a check that I receive and using that money than would jumping in Lake Michigan and even in warmer weather. and I can't sin. I don't own a thing. That's my faith. And you married men, your faith tells you loyalty to your wife until death. In case nobody told you, it takes a lot of faith. A lot of faith. You may have heard this statistic. If you haven't, it's worth quoting. If you have, worth repeating. And this is all well tested. The average woman who has been divorced has six times, as they tell you, six times as good a chance of finding a man whom she can marry. Six times. Six times as good a chance as a single woman her own age. Divorced women, oh, they know men. Oh, do they know men? And as a priest, do I ever know women? Takes faith to remain faithful. A woman of even 40, but you go beyond 40, and then, by the way, specialists in cosmetology tell me most of the $7+ billion spent on women's cosmetics are spent by women beyond the age of 40. I tell them, save your money. It doesn't really help. But the faith it takes for a man, I trust you know what I'm talking about. All of this is what is locked up, and that's not a bad verb to use in this context. Locked up is what we're talking about as the most fundamental way without which there was no communication of faith. You hear me? Zero. There is no communication of faith by one who does not believe. And that means, in spite of all the books or speeches or years of teaching the person may have expended. But as you know, this faith is not just to be lived with a mind assenting to God's revealed truth. It is also trusting in God, synthesized in the practice of the virtue of hope. As the people become more unbelieving, they become more and more discouraged, depressed, and despairing. A complete correlation between despair and a loss of faith. And the children nowadays, I trust that your children, first of all, with yourselves as their fathers, but into the future. will be spared. The plague of discouragement to which so many young people are now exposed. As a priest, by far your tenure, as I mentioned, at Northern Michigan, at the university, my record was 3 suicides among the students in 2 weeks. Never publicized, would never make the Detroit News or Free Press for obvious reasons. But your children will have as much hope, as much trust in God as you have. And I repeat, this is not mere human pedagogy. This is not a question of being merely an exemplar to your children. In fact, the children could be on another continent. Am I clear? Grace transcends nations. And of course, and this for all of us, beginning with the speaker, the hardest of the theological virtues to practice is, of course, the virtue of charity. I never tell you repeating, and when people, if they do, wonder, gosh, Father Hart, there he is, again repeating himself. Well, sometimes I admit or I anticipate their criticism. If you think that I'm forgetting myself, I'm repeating what I did. I don't remember having said it before. You got me wrong. The real test of being a channel of grace to others is the virtue of selfless, and I mean selfless charity. And we're meeting for less than, gosh, it's not even 12 hours, right? Because we have benediction at 4:30, she'll break up by 5. At the latest. We didn't even start at 5 this morning. But let me tell you, this charity is the acid test of our being true followers of Christ. What are we saying? If we are to communicate to others what God has so mercifully given to us, what is the one towering virtue that we are to share with others? I've seen more than meets the ears. Is not only, as we've been saying before, a matter of giving others a good example. It is not even the fact that by sharing with others the spiritual gifts that God has so generously given to us, we shall be winning our own salvation. Without selfless love, nobody will get to heaven. That's what the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel is all about. Well, where do you begin to teach, and especially, and I'm focusing on what, in context, is the most important object of your zeal, namely your own flesh and blood. What does God want you? What does God want you to share with those whom He's given to you as your sons and daughters? He wants you to share your faith with them. He wants you to share your trust and hope in God with them. But above all, our Lord wants you to share your love of Him with them. So what are we saying? We are saying that as parents, whatever other grace you are to channel to the offspring that God in His great mercy has put into your lives, there is nothing more precious than that your children be children who love God with their whole hearts and love one another out of love for God. In a word, that your children become truly, sincerely, to coin an adverb, honest to godly, selfless. I have over the years deliberately watched children, all ages, watched them. I have never met an exception. Every child from less than a day old through its, as we say, tenderest years, is deeply, profoundly, spontaneously selfish. And to no fault of its own. That's our nature. There's one thing that I've learned in teaching theology in my own judgments for 25 years. And the longer you teach it, and you know the syllables, those long sesquipedalian words, long words you know them by heart, but what a difference to know what they mean. Supernatural, supernatural. It means superhuman, and a superhuman quality of divine grace. That's what grace is. Enables us to do that which is humanly impossible. Grace enables us to love others more. Get the word more, not as much as. That's the Old Testament. Am I clear? More than we love ourselves. If only parents, all parents, including, of course, yourselves, believe this. There is no hope, hear it, and don't forget. There is no hope barring a miracle of God's grace for parents to have selfless children if the parents practice contraception. Do you hear me? and all the Richard McBrians in the world don't matter. In other words, it is only selfless parents, and the more selfless parents are, my main message, by the way, to you during this day. Ask yourselves in our Lord's presence, will you personally in your lives, what areas of my life am I still holding back? Where am I still holding on to myself? And in the name of God, let go. Let go. It is a theological contradiction. Now, God can work miracles, but you have to work a miracle for selfish parents to have selfless children. Am I still clear? In all the piety, all the preachifying to the contrary, just makes it worse. I've talked to too many children, both the young and those who have grown up. All the sermons Mother and Dad gave me, but I never had the nerve to tell them, if only you would live what you're preaching. But I repeat, it's deeper, much deeper, much deeper. It is not example. It's the law of the communication of grace. We shall communicate to others only what we possess. And here, of divine grace. And that is why, for some 12 years now, I've been telling people, ordinary families, I don't see, will not thrive. They won't even survive. Only heroic families will even survive. But the family, core family, will be only as heroic as, well, who else? As the father and mother, and beginning with the father. Themselves are. And is it a quarter after? So we have 5 more minutes, eh? We're asking how to communicate the faith. You know, the faith here is not merely the capacity for believing with the mind. It's communicating the living faith. And we said, by living it. But by living the faith, this means for us who have the true faith, drawing on the sources of grace that God became man to give us. And among these sources of grace, the most important, barring none, is the Holy Eucharist. I've said to many, if not most of you already, on some occasion, call to Romans 86 and 87. of the Holy Father's private secretary to do whatever could be done to awaken Americans to their faith in and devotion to Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Said the Holy Father, secretary to me, and each day, the two times that I met for an hour, then that evening, he would talk to the Holy Father. Next morning, the secretary and I would talk again. And he told me, Holy Father is deeply concerned for the survival of the Catholic Church in America. And he is convinced what American Catholics most need is to restore where it's been lost, strengthen where it's been weakened, and promoted where it is still firm faith in the real presence. In the 25 years that I've been working for the Holy See, this has been one of the major problems. One once Catholic church after another, and by the way, if you've been here in this chapel, like say, 10 or 12 years ago, well, looked like a Catholic church. We have pews, we kneel down, no more. If one dies after another, Blessed Sacrament, the tabernacle, I don't have to tell you, you know this, not just removed from its center place in the church or over to the side, but even removed out of sight. And all kinds of excuses, not one is valid. Please God, that's why I'm encouraged to encourage the laity to keep the faith, and especially to keep the faith and promote the faith in our Lord's real presence in the Holy Eucharist. There will be occasion during the hour of questions to get down to the more nitty-gritty issues. The day we're meeting is very short, but I sincerely hope that from today's Day of Recollection, some decisions will be reached that can continue into the years to come, always, of course, with your cooperation. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then, at